Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep, where is he? And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, guys.
Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Rimi.
Got it!
Levine, turnaround jumper up. Get it! Onions! Baby onions! Kobe White, put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Matt, we are here. We are here, and it's finally draft week, man. It's finally draft week. It's the offseason starts today. The trade moratorium being lifted already as we record this. Get ready for having absolutely zero sleep over the next 3 or 4 weeks, man, because we have finally made it here. How are you, man?
Jordan, what is up? What's up, Bulls Nation? So excited for this week. First things first, I'm terrified to watch the Bears on Monday Night Football. But then after that, all hands on deck for the draft. And I honestly already feel like my hands are all on deck for the draft this week. Only a few days away. That's crazy. We already had CP3 dealt to the Suns this morning. A few days after getting a report that James Harden was, quote, locked in for running it back with the Rockets, we're now hearing that he wants to go to Brooklyn to play with KD and Kyrie, maybe go to Philly and reunite with Daryl Morey. Crazy shit's going on. All the while, man, how awesome is it that we are a few days away from NBA draft? The Bulls have a number 4 pick. There's a lot of excitement coming back with this fan base. We just heard from the head of our network that we just had our second biggest week ever as far as downloads and listens on the Locked On Bulls podcast last week. And as of today, we are celebrating our 3-year anniversary with Locked On Bulls. It is crazy, man, to think that we have been doing this podcast for that long.
Man, it's funny. We were saying, like, I was trying to think about it last night too and over the weekend. I'm like, a lot of shit has changed in my life in 3.5 years, almost 4 years since you and I have started doing a podcast together. But the one thing that has always stayed the same is being able to jump on here and talk about the Bulls and kind of avoid everything else that the world has offered us over the last 3-4 years and just sit here, talk Bulls, have a couple of laughs and interact with our fans. And like, that's the biggest thing, man, is appreciate everybody who supported us, the OGs who've been listening to us since day one that we joined the network or even before then, and everybody who's jumped on board here in 2020. Maybe you're a brand new listener to our show and it's been the first show you've listened to in the last couple of weeks. Thanks for coming on board. We've been here for a while. We've been through a lot of hard times as far as Bulls basketball goes too, man. So I think all of that grit and toughness we had to build up during the Jim Boylan years is only going to make us better podcasters, better Bulls fans going into what will hopefully be a bright spot for this team over the next several years. But man, it's been a wild, wild ride with Locked On, and so happy to be with the network and watching the network grow from where we were at, Matt. I mean, what did we have, like 45, maybe 50 shows on the network when we joined, maybe? And now we're over at 120 plus different shows across all these different leagues. It's insane how big the network has gotten, and it's really cool to be a part of.
It really is, man. And shout out to the OG hosts of this show, Cody Westlin and Sean Hyken, two great dudes who we were humbled to take over for. Shout out to my guy, Matt Shook, who is the host of Locked On Pistons, who is the one who first caught wind of the network needing new hosts for this show. And man, 3 freaking years. That's crazy. I just, so much appreciation to our listeners, man. So much. the show has grown in ways that I think you nor I would have anticipated or expected. And an extra special shout out to those of us who have been listening to us since our Debatables days, because, man, you're right. That does kind of feel like a lifetime ago at this point.
It really does. And like I'm almost at a point where I'm like cringing, even thinking about going back and listening to those early podcasts, because I know I was terrible. And there's still probably a lot of people listening to this show that thinks, hey, you're still terrible, don't worry about that. So that's cool too. But yeah, man, there's a lot of stuff that has happened. I mean, I think about all the good moments too, all the funny reaction that we've gotten from callers and people that have interacted back and forth with us. Thinking about like the summer with not signing or to sign Jabari Parker, to the Russell Westbrook arguments we had a year ago, to Michael Carter Williams. Jabari
Parker took at least a year off my life, man. At least.
They don't pay fans to play defense.
Oh man. And then like even things like Jim Boylan being named head coach, to the 56-point loss at home to the Celtics, where we just got a flood of voicemails, people telling us that they're no longer Bulls fans. So a lot of those memories we'll be sharing on Twitter, and maybe we'll play a couple for you guys throughout the week, but feel free to share those on Twitter too. If there's anything that we didn't bring up that you guys absolutely loved about the show over the last 3 years, definitely send it to us, tweet at us, text us, remind us of it, because we're in for a good couple of laughs. But we got a lot to get to, Matt, in terms of what present-day Bulls news is going on. The Bulls hired a bunch of different coaches for player development coordinators to kind of round out that staff. The Bulls are being in talks of trades, potentially a bunch of prospects. So we've got a lot to talk about right now. Before we do that quickly, let's talk about that trade that just happened, though, this morning. Kind of knew this was coming, but Chris Paul to the Phoenix Suns. Are you surprised by how much OKC got in return for Chris Paul, considering what we were talking about originally, what his worth was, and I don't know, basically not being able to move to being able to be moved to multiple teams? There's only a few teams that could take on that contract. Are you surprised what they got for him?
I am a little bit surprised at the quality of the haul they got for CP3, because people were talking about OKC maybe having to essentially give up an asset to get off of Chris Paul's contract. But instead, they get a couple of quality young role players, some pieces that have potential, and another first round pick. And yes, it has protections on it, but I mean, the reason I'm not entirely surprised is this is just more of Sam Presti just working his magic. I don't know how he does it, but I believe, and shout out to Tommy Beer, who was the first one to you know, basically count them all out today on Twitter after this trade went down. 17 first round picks slash rights to a pick swap between now and 2026 for the Oklahoma City Thunder. 17. That's crazy.
What are they gonna? I guess you're setting yourself up to take multiple shots at a potential future star and like resetting your organization. It also sets you up for a chance to, at any point, put yourself in a win now mode, right? By going to trade for a star because you have so many picks. But at the same time, I'm like, man, I don't know what they're doing or what their plans are, but they might be the most set up of any team trying to rebuild on the fly. Thinking about even what Chris Paul's impact was in 1 year of being there, it's insane what they got for him. And I was kind of scratching my head too at Phoenix, is like, why would you put protections on that pick that you just traded? Because now it limits you in the short term to be able to trade any of your outgoing picks if you think you're one other additional small piece away and it takes, say, a first round draft pick. They're not gonna be able to do that now with all those protections, and if all those protections keep moving into other years, it's just a little bit weird for Phoenix to do that. And I get why they want to do it now, because they've been in such a hellhole of basketball for so long that it's like pairing Ayton, Booker, and Chris Paul together just makes a lot of sense for them. But I don't know. Maybe they shot themselves in their foot a little bit by putting protections on a first round pick. But good for OKC, man.
It is great for them. And I know some Bulls fans are disappointed to hear the news today, because they thought that the Bulls should do exactly that. You know, a young team in Phoenix that has a couple of solid pieces, that needs veteran leadership, that needs a floor commander. I know, you know, our pal Mark Kay from Australia was a big advocate for the CP3 to the Bulls idea. Didn't happen. I never really saw it. It's a real possibility. But again, it just goes to show, credit to OKC for being able to swing that, because essentially now that you've also flipped CP3, you took Russell Westbrook, And the end of the road with that, you know, reign in OKC, and turned Russell Westbrook into an all NBA season from CP3 and a playoff berth that nobody saw coming for your franchise, and SGA, three first round picks and two first round pick swaps. That is a massive, massive haul for an aging star like Westbrook. Jordan, before we get to our news on the Bulls fully filling out their coaching staff and, hey, player development staff, wanted to remind our Locked On Bulls listeners for the great draft content that's on deck at the Locked On Podcast Network. The NBA draft is finally here, and the Locked On Podcast Network will have live draft coverage this year on YouTube, on Facebook, Twitch, at Locked On Live. It will be the only place you can find Chad Ford, the GOAT of draft analysis, on the night of the draft. Join Chad, Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks, David Locke for the most in-depth coverage of the NBA draft, featuring analysis from Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated. Follow Locked On Live on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch, and get alerts as soon as they go live.
Before we get into all the Bulls stuff, wanted to remind our listeners about our friends over at Built Bar. Built Bar has been with us for the last several months, and honestly, they've become a regular routine in my life. Somebody who doesn't eat breakfast that often, I work at weird hours too, going in and out of the radio station, so sometimes there's just not time for a meal, but I don't want to grab fast food. I don't want to add unnecessary calories. And sometimes I even want my chocolate fix. And Built Bar does all of that for you while not having to feel guilty about adding potentially thousands of calories to your diet, empty calories in fast food or unnecessary chocolates. Built Bar is a protein bar packed with everything that you need. They have 12 original flavors, including their 6 brand new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bar is great for the healthy, conscious guy or girl in your life. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. They're low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. They're great for the keto diet. One of my favorite flavor profiles includes the peanut butter bar. That's got 19 grams of protein, only 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. It fills me up for the entire day, and I don't have to feel guilty about eating something chocolate. Go to BuiltBar.com right now and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. That's use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, before we get into the insanity of free agency, potentially, Matt, trades, and the draft happening in less than 72 hours, let's talk quickly about who the Bulls hired. And the Bulls added and rounded out their player development coordinators and their coaching staff by adding 4 names to their staff. It's pretty funny. Like, when we talk about player development coaches, we had 1, maybe 2 over the last 5 years that you could even point to, Matt, and now we're going to have 4 guys that are literally just committed to player development. And then not even the fact that John Bryant was a player development coordinator with the 76ers. You've got other guys on this coaching staff that have player development backgrounds. So what did you take away from the 4 names that were hired, and anything specifically stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just competency. That was the very simple reaction from a guy, Big Dave, when he saw the news over the weekend, and I couldn't agree more. In its most simplistic form, the reaction here is, hey, competency, that's sure nice. Of course, I'm sure most Bulls fans thought back to those comments from Mark Eversley when he took the job, talking about remembering preparing for the job interview and finding out that the Bulls had one person tasked with player development. And he said, quote, "That's a hell of a job for one person to do." And it was just such a striking condemnation of the way that the mom and pop Bulls have run their basketball organization under the Gar Pax regime. Because Bulls fans all felt it, but it's nice to get the evidence behind it. It's like you have one person trying to, you know, control something as big and wide-ranging as player development, while also the owner of your team, who is, you know, not, maybe not all there, tell Jim Boylan to be the CEO of this fucking team. And it's so frustrating. It was so frustrating. And then you have these people from competently run organizations coming in and saying, this is how y'all were doing things? So, yeah, to hear 4 names, all of whom have, by all accounts, quality resumes, especially working in, as you said, player development backgrounds, it's just so wonderfully, refreshingly competent.
That's for sure, man. God, anytime somebody brings up Bulls CEO, like, I saw the tweet the other night, and I'm sitting on my couch by myself, just scrolling through Twitter, and I just bursted out into tears laughing. Like, that still is one of the funniest things I think will ever happen to this Bulls team, is the fact that your head coach got named the CEO of the team, and I still don't even know what the hell that means to some extent, but it is. It's nice to finally have them committing to player development, and I think that throws... even whether you're trying to do it or not, it throws confidence at guys like Carter and Markkanen and White and even Chandler Hutchison and Denzel Valentine, guys who haven't had really a lot of help in terms of player development since coming to this team. Guys who even have been here for 3 or 4 years, like Valentine. I think it throws, even if it's just a little bit of confidence into their way of saying, hey, we're actually bringing people in that are going to help you work on your game. And there is some path forward to getting better, not just, hey, go out there and do whatever I think is best for you and hopefully it works out for you. Thinking specifically marketing. But I'm glad that they're actually approaching that. That was something that they had honed in their first couple of conferences, AK and Mark Eversley, and they're actually following up and doing that. So the four names that were announced are Henry Domerkant, Ronnie Burrell, Ty Abbott, and Max Rothschild. I'm going to be honest with you guys, I don't know much about any of the four of these guys, but in the next couple of weeks, Matt, we'll probably get more information about where these guys are coming from, what their backgrounds are like, and hopefully some positive quotes about them joining this Bulls staff under Billy Donovan.
Right. A couple of quick thoughts on them, and shout out to Rob Schaefer over at NBC Sports Chicago for doing a little bit of homework on these guys. This is from his report on those hirings. Domerkant is a Chicago native who had worked with the Windy City Bulls from 2018 to 2020. And then the other names you hear, you assume, are from the connections of this team that has finally brought in some fresh faces to its executive offices and its staff, because Burrell was a longtime assistant for the Long Island Nets and a player development video assistant for the Brooklyn Nets. So you assume that there's a Chris Fleming connection there. Because despite his name not being listed in the team's official announcement of this filling out of Donovan's staff, Schaefer was able to confirm with the team that Fleming is staying on board, despite his name being omitted from this latest official announcement. So you assume that there's a Fleming connection that brought Burrell over from Brooklyn. Ty Abbott previously worked for player development with the Sixers this past season, and prior to that, their G League affiliate, the Delaware Blue coach from 2018 to 19. You assume there's a Mark Eversley connection there that brought him on board, as well as Rothschild, who also worked with player development with 76ers last season. So all of these names have pretty clear and obvious ties to them from people who have recently joined this Bulls organization using their Rolodexes to finally bring in some fresh people. And to me, it's simple. It's a simple win. Just to not only see multiple names being attached to, hey, maybe his player development is something that's important, but also the fact that we're starting to finally branch out and get young up-and-comers, fresh faces from other organizations around the league, because we have brought in these people at the executive level to go find people that they think are good and want to work with them.
But we did want to get younger, and we do want to get more athletic.
Yes, Gar, that is actually the goal now, unlike what you guys told us a few years back. Going to the draft now, Matt. Lot of names circling the Bulls, even since Friday. Since when we talked on Friday last, there's other names popping up around this fourth pick. And the more I read, the more I listen to experts tied to the NBA and sources and execs, man, I'm still confused. And I still think the majority of the league is still confused on what the Bulls are going to do at four. And I'm more and more convinced than ever, Matt, that the draft really does start at four. That's what we heard on Zach Lowe's podcast last week. I'm convinced more than ever now that the Bulls have the most important pick in terms of how the rest of this first round plays out. Have you had any weird gut instinct reactions before we kind of get into their workouts and stuff? Any gut instincts or reactions that you had coming into this week that maybe you didn't have the last few weeks, whether the Bulls trade down, trade up, stand pat, or a guy that you didn't think about before that they may have their eyes on drafting?
Well, the latest I've heard is that, despite a bunch of smoke and a bunch of talk maybe last week, in the last 48 hours or so, and this is from Casey Johnson, among others, it's sounding like 1-2-3 is going to go chalk, as much as we have all consensus come to understand what chalk is, meaning that in some order, LaMelo Ball, James Wiseman, and Anthony Edwards are going to go top three. You know, there were talk about like, oh, maybe Golden State actually is so high on either Onyeka Okongwu or Wise Denny that one of those three guys would fall, or that maybe the Charlotte Hornets are really high on Okongwu and they're going to take him number three, and then maybe LaMelo or Edwards will be there at four for the Bulls. What we're hearing now, after all of that smoke and speculation, is that it looks like the projected top three will go top three. And that means, as far as the Bulls are concerned, that we are where we thought we'd be for the most part. If you didn't really ever believe much of that trade talk hype or an unexpected pick jumping into the top three, which is that the Bulls will have their pick of a, you know, international wing prospect like Denny, a couple of young, exciting, you know, playmaking guards like Killian Hayes or Tyrese Halliburton, maybe even Kyra Lewis Jr. from Alabama, or maybe a two-way player like Isaac Okoro, who might fit exactly the kind of two-way player, player profile that AK likes, that this roster doesn't have that many of right now. So those I expect will be the team's options if we get those top three chalk and the Bulls don't make a trade.
I've got two hot takes that I've kind of formed, and tell me if I'm way off base on this or if there's something to it. And it specifically surrounds the LaMelo Ball. One, we found out that the Bulls originally had a workout scheduled with LaMelo Ball on Friday. They, I guess, didn't show up or were not present for that scheduled workout. Today, they're supposed to be scheduled and meeting with James Wiseman. On Friday, they were scheduled LaMelo Ball and Onyeka Okongwu. And then on that Thursday, we had talked about them being in front of Patrick Williams, Devin Vassell, and Killian Hayes. So I did find it a little bit interesting that they didn't show up to LaMelo Ball's workout. Now, I don't know if this is a scare tactic, if this is just to try to mess with other GMs in their heads. If you truly do believe that the Bulls in some capacity are in on LaMelo Ball should he fall to four, or if they're just trying to keep everything close to the vest and still confuse people, I think that's what that move was. Not necessarily the Bulls all of a sudden coming to a decision over the last couple of days that, you know what, we're out on LaMelo Ball, we're just not even going to show up. It's either that, Matt, or they already are convinced that they're not going to move up and he's going to get drafted one or two, and there's just no use of wasting your time. I do find it interesting that the Pistons joined that workout. So does that to you tell me that if LaMelo Ball falls to four, that there might be a deal in the works with the Pistons to move up to four to take him and the Bulls drop back to seven? We talked about a deal there at that point, but I think you're going to get plenty of other suitors should LaMelo fall to four. And again, I wouldn't be in favor of trading it should LaMelo end up there, but I don't think he's really going to. Anything you took away from that, though, that the Bulls didn't show up on Friday?
No, I didn't take much away from it. Probably for the same reason that I didn't take much away from the talk about the Bulls being interested or not interested in any particular player, which is that the thing that we've heard most frequently over the past month is that nobody knows what the hell AK and the Bulls are going to do. I find that comforting. It's a little bit scary to go into draft night completely blind, but any Bulls fan who tries to talk themselves into not being completely blind is kidding themselves, in my opinion. And that's coming from someone who has spent a gross amount of time dissecting every possible report, rumor, speculation on Twitter and every local and national media outlet over the last month talking about the possibilities on draft night. I'm saying that, and I'm saying I don't have a clue. So I've taken everything we've heard, whether it's LaMelo and the Bulls, and maybe there isn't a workout, or they didn't show up for this, or they did show up for that. We've also heard that the Bulls very much love Melo and are maybe so in love with him that they might be looking to trade up for him on draft night. It's like everything you hear, there's a contradicting report saying the exact opposite. Again, that's where we are. We are blind, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that we and also the other 29 teams are blind to what the Bulls are about to do.
The Pistons working out LaMelo tells me that they've had already conversations with the Warriors about Blake Griffin. That's what that tells me. Is you're
That's
moving
interesting.
From 7 to 2, and the Warriors are looking for that final piece. And I know Blake Griffin's contract is bloated as hell, but you're off of that money in 2 years. And there had been a rumor about floating Draymond Green out there in possible trades to kind of match that money. But that's where I would see maybe a jump from 7 to 2 and why the Pistons would be interested in that pick. It makes sense for the Bulls at 4, moving 4 to 7. But then you're talking about what kind of deal are you making to execute that. Are you getting Rose and 7 back for 4 and whatever other piece that you're going to trade to move down? That could be a conversation worth having too as well. And I know Bulls fans are probably getting overly excited now that I just mentioned Rose in that capacity, but that's true, man. I mean, he's on a 1 year deal. He's at a 1 year hey, deal.
Also, did you hear that Anthony Davis opted out?
Oh my
and
God.
He's a free agent.
Anybody overreacting to that on top of two is like, I laughed. I know there wasn't that many, but I laughed at the people that just were ready to unleash hell on Twitter in Bulls Nation for those that weren't aware that Otto Porter Jr. picked up his player option for $28 million. It's like, we knew this was happening for multiple months. Don't get angry about it. I know it's hard to do that, but don't get angry about that. We knew that was coming.
I was just sitting when that news broke and watching everybody, you know, get their Otto opt-in jokes off. I was like, okay, yeah, we all knew this was happening. Can we move on now? We don't need to spend any time on this. We all knew it was happening. But dude, like I saw like a Photoshop of Anthony Davis and Harden in Bulls jerseys this morning. And I was like, dude, you're out of fucking control.
I was messing with people this weekend on Saturday, and I had Photoshopped
Photoshop was glorious.
The new big four for the Bulls, which I mean, at this point, as we're talking about at 2:13 Central Time on Monday, it's still in play, man. LaVine, Giannis, Russell Westbrook, and Cristiano Felicio is your big four. It's still in play
now. The Felicio picture you used was him putting on his goggles, you know, like a soldier getting ready for battle.
And everybody in the comments too is confused. They're like, Jordan, I don't know if you're being serious about Felicio here or not. And I didn't respond to anybody, but in any world, in any dream scenario, even the one that's most ridiculous like this, Felicio's not moving. You're not moving that contract. So he's staying on this team this year. I promise you that.
It does surprise me sometimes how bad people are understanding Twitter sarcasm. And people are like, oh, there needs to be like a sarcasm, you know, font on Twitter. And it's like, no, you just need to not be an idiot and know what the difference between reality and not reality and what sarcasm means. Because like clearly you were joking with that graphic and nobody thought you were being serious. Another example was, you know, there's been this rumor that the Mavs are interested in getting Zach in a trade, right? And so I quote tweeted whatever it was. It was like, all right, like, you know, Zach for Luka straight up. Yes. All right. Great. Done deal. And somebody in the replies thought I was being serious. And they were like, dude, wake up. That's not happening. I was like, yeah, fucking duh.
Speaking of Zach, though, this is something we had touched on multiple times over the last several weeks, but we didn't really dive deep into it and go back and forth. I was on Rick Camp's podcast on Friday, and he had mentioned this to me. And we went back and forth for about 10 minutes on LaVine, and I just kept coming back to the realization about everybody circling the Mavs as being a potential trade partner on Wednesday night or even before then. Man, here's the deal that basically is what it would be if Zach LaVine was dealt to the Mavericks. It would be LaVine for Brunson, Tim Hardaway Jr., and the 16th overall pick. Now, to me, Matt, that's underselling on LaVine. Like that, and that's what people in NBA circles are saying is a fair value for Zach LaVine. That, to me, just tells me a lot of people didn't watch Bulls games yesterday and or think that his defense is so abhorrently bad that he's not worth trading any type of valuable assets long term. I also think that there's this idea about LaVine that a lot of people don't really understand or know what his value is. Does that make sense? Like playing under Jim Boylan and still having the year that he did last year, I think there's a lot of teams out there that still don't really understand or know what the value of LaVine is.
I think that's absolutely fair. I think the notion that he's just this, like, you know, empty, hollow points player who's not actually good is because he's been on bad teams. And that's no fault of his. I'm not saying that, Zach is not deserving of some criticism and some aspects and elements to his game, because of course he is. We know what those flaws and those holes in his game are. But he's still a dude who gave you damn near 25-5-5 this season. Not to mention the fact that he also has two more years on his current contract where he's getting less than 20 mil to be a guy who can be 25-5-5 for you. And even if he becomes, in a trade and move to a team that's more competitive, a second or third complementary piece who you're not asking to drop 25 every night, but maybe 20, that's still good value on that contract compared to some of the other contracts in the NBA right now. So, yes, like I think somebody brought up on Twitter earlier today when we were talking about Zach LaVine, in a couple of years, he might be facing a situation where he is demanding a max level contract for the production that he has. And that would be a tough decision for that team to make, whoever tries to get him in a trade, whether it be Dallas or somebody else. But that's a 2 years from now problem. And in the meantime, if you're a team that's contending and gearing towards contention, you're getting a quality player for less than 20 mil a year when every team in the league, including those that are on their way towards trying to win a title this season, are strapped for cash because of the situation that the fiscal climate that the league is in right now.
That being said, have you wavered at all about whether the Bulls are going to deal LaVine or not? Man, I've kind of, and maybe it's just recency bias, but I've kind of fell in this camp now that I haven't been in at all this year, is that I think I'm more convinced than ever that LaVine isn't here for the long term, and that makes me a little disappointed, but I think that also caters to the fact of who they're going to draft on Wednesday. Let me throw this at you. If the Bulls end up with LaMelo on Wednesday night, I don't think Zach is here. I really don't. I think he gets dealt, and maybe that's at the trade deadline coming up this offseason, but I don't think he lasts through the 2021 season. I think he's gone either at the trade deadline or before this season starts, because drafting LaMelo doesn't really make any sense if you're going to pair him alongside Zach LaVine. And we know Zach LaVine can't play in the wing. So that's where I'm at, is like if the Bulls end up with LaMelo on Wednesday night, it's, to me, it's almost a for sure thing that LaVine is gone. That's how I see it.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. And to me, there are two key factors here. One of which I agree with and one of which I have some issues with. First one, which I agree with, and I think you and I have talked about this ad nauseum and why some fans are upset and think that we're like desperate to trade Zach and ready to trade Zach, and that's why we talk about it so much. No. Factor one, he is the piece on your roster right now that would yield the most in a return if you trade him. He is the best player on this roster. He's still young. He's still in his prime. He still could get a little bit better than he is now. And again, that is a value contract for any team out there. That's factor one. Factor two is this thing that we've heard pop up a couple of times about how, based on the players that AK likes to build with and build around, Zach doesn't necessarily fit that mold as a kind of just, a lone wolf scorer who doesn't necessarily play in an offensive system that AK and Donovan might be looking to build this season. Now, I certainly see that there is some logic to that, along with this notion that Zach is a one-way player and that AK likes guys who could play both ways to build around. There is my one little hang-up, because it's not like Zach is the only player on this roster that you would call a one-way player. Because guess what? It's not like Kobe White has shown
the
anything
roster
to be
is
some
chock
great
full
defender in the league this his rookie year. People are excited about how explosive Kobe was offensively, but Kobe is still a one-way player. He can't play defense. Chris Dunn, one-way player, plays great defense, doesn't give you a damn lick of anything on offense. Most everybody on this roster, Wendell Carter Jr., excellent defensive player, all defensive team potential on that side, a ghost on offense. Lowry Marketed, great offensive upside, a ghost on defense. It's not like Zach's the only one-way player on this roster. So that's the one hang-up I have with that logic.
The only guy that you could consider a two-way player is never healthy, and that's the dude making $28 million, and that's Otto.
Yeah, Otto.
Otto's like the only guy on this team that has already proven that he can play on both sides of the ball. You're 100% right. This team is chock full of those guys. And again, it's about who can you easily change into being able to play on both sides of the ball. And that's, I think, a positive and a negative for AK and Billy Donovan and Mark Eversley to all figure out, is like, who are the guys that we don't project to be able to develop on both sides of the ball? Who are those guys that we can move? And you're right. You're 100% right about Zach. Zach is our most valuable asset. He's the best player on the team, without a doubt. But the idea that some of the trades that I've seen surrounding Zach LaVine, man, are just fucking insulting. Like, seriously, they are fucking insulting. Our guy over at Locked On Mavs asked us about interest, and he didn't send any deals our way or anything, but he was like, Mavs fans are just constantly asking us about LaVine, what it would take to get him. And I was like, man, Matt and I sat here for 20 minutes trying to figure out if anything, even like a reach deal that would make some sense for the Bulls, that would be like, okay, I'm willing to do that. Like, there's nothing. If you're not giving up Porzingis or Doncic, which you're clearly not, there's nothing else on that roster that remotely makes me interested.
Luka and Kristaps are non-starters. What else on that Mavs roster do you want?
Nothing, because Jalen Brunson, young controllable guard, great. I already have that, and I can offer the qualifying offer to Shaq Harrison, even if he denies it. He's a restricted free agent. I can re-sign him. Brunson and Shaq Harrison to me are the same player. Like, are sit in the same tiers. So I already have that guy. Okay, great. Tim Hardaway Jr., he's just a salary dump at that point. You're going to open up some cap space, so that makes some sense. Otto Porter, Cristiano Felicio, Tim Hardaway Jr., all coming off your books in the summer of 2021. That opens up about $50 million in cap space. Fine, if that's the actual move that you're looking to make, cool. But are you guaranteeing Bulls fans that you're going to be able to sign a massive star without anybody here? Like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm cool with opening up cap space. That is totally fine with me. But is this new front office truly convinced that they can sign one guy to come here in the summer of 2021 without Zach here? I think it lessens your chances tenfold without having Zach here. And so that's the struggle I'm with, is yes, Zach would be great to get some assets back and you can potentially open up some cap space. But at the same time, it's like, then you're in the fight again of, who wants to come to Chicago without any guarantees of playing next to a guy at their same caliber all-star level? Not many, because there's so many other places to go.
Yeah, I think, and you know, I talked about it with my buddy Sabine from Outsiders, who is, as you know, a pretty big Mavs fan in addition to being a Bulls fan. Like, that was his first team in his childhood. And you know, Luka obsessed. He's excited about that team's future. I talked to him about this because we kept hearing, like, there's a lot of stuff with the Mavs pick and they're interested in Zach. And I was like, dude, like, do you see a feasible trade here? Because he said, as a Mavs fan, you know, obviously it would hurt his Bulls fandom to see Zach go, because he loved watching Zach the past 2 years. But he would love Zach as a complimentary piece on Dallas. But he was like, I don't see anything here. Like, looking at it from both sides, I just, like, there's nothing that Dallas could give Chicago that I would see to be fair value for Zach that is something that Dallas would be willing to part with. He said, I just don't see it.
I think going back to the Nets is probably a good conversation we can have maybe in the next couple of days or even the next couple of weeks. If they don't end up pulling a deal off for Harden, which is something that's being rumored, the Nets acquiring Harden, not the Bulls. But if that sweepstakes ends up falling through and maybe Harden goes somewhere else or they just can't get a deal done, the Nets are truly committed to adding that third piece this offseason. Zach might be that guy. And I think there's definitely more value in dealing with the Nets than there is with the Mavericks. At least they have some young, controllable players that would make some sense in this system. The other teams too, man, like, I just don't see it.
I am so excited at the thought of watching a Kevin Durant, Zach LaVine, Kyrie Irving offense. Can you imagine how fun that would be? The team would give up 120 a night, but they might pour in 140 a night.
And think about it too, like, if they were able to re-sign Joe Harris on top of that, I don't know if they'd have the money just thinking about it now, but your starting five would include all of those guys, and maybe even they have the chance of keeping Jared Allen. Your starting five, he includes that, or DeAndre Jordan becomes your starting center. Like, that team would be absolutely fucking insane. And DeAndre Jordan is great in the pick and roll too, and that's kind of where Zach thrives, and it's where we want the Bulls to have, is somebody that can actually set picks. And DeAndre Jordan can do that for him. Same thing with Kevin Durant. That team would be an absolute... It'd be a nightmare. It'd be a nightmare to get past those guys. But again, I know. Like, I would be very disappointed if the Bulls ended up trading LaVine for that deal to the Mavericks, getting the 16th overall pick, Tim Hardaway Jr. and Jalen Brunson, or Justin Jackson, the combination of those guys. I'd be very, very disappointed if that's the value they got for LaVine, especially on his contract and what we know about him, man.
Yeah, because, I mean, would you say that that is less valuable than getting, say, what we had talked about a couple weeks back with Caris LeVert being the center of that trade?
100%. Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
100%. I think that is, it's not even the same realm. It's not even in the same ballpark. Unless you're talking about a lottery pick that the Bulls had keyed in on that falls out of the lottery and is available at 16, and you're like, we can't pass on him. We absolutely can't pass on him. And I just don't see them pulling the trigger, especially in a draft, the way that we've set up context for this draft and for so long. It's not like 2018 or 2017 where it was a loaded class. It's not like that. So the idea of trading Zach LaVine for a middle first round pick and some cap space in the summer, I don't know. It's not bad, but I'd be a little bit disappointed if I was a Bulls fan. I just want to see Zach LaVine be able to do something with a healthy roster and a coach who knows what the fuck he's doing.
You know, it's nice. Oh, and speaking of which, I think speaking of coaching changes, I just saw Roy Rogers, who was an assistant for a couple of years here in Chicago, just found himself a new home after Donovan kind of cleared everything out and started over. He is joining that Clippers staff. So that's pretty exciting, collection of assistant coaches the Clippers have now with their big change in the post-Doc Rivers era.
Yeah, that's interesting, especially a dude that's defensive-minded. Coming from that Rockets team and then coming from the Bulls as well, I mean, we talked about the Bulls being in some elements throughout the season a top 10 defense, and they sort of play the way that the Bulls wanted to play last year. It was a disaster for the Bulls, but they sort of play the way that they wanted the Bulls to play last year. And with the Clippers having the amount of scoring that they do and run up and down the floor constantly, kind of makes sense. So good for him. But last thing I got before we get out of here, I know we're running close on time. I saw this pop up, man, and it's going to be a frustration that we're going to have for the next couple of weeks with people who haven't paid necessarily attention to the Bulls over the last couple of years, throwing some absolutely insane trade ideas out there and some thoughts and opinions on players that I don't necessarily think are right. So I saw this from my friends over at The Score. The Danny Parkin Show put out a Twitter poll today a couple hours ago, and it said, would this be a good deal for the Bulls? Zach LaVine, Kobe White, and the fourth pick in the draft for James Harden. Yes and no. There's 3,600 votes on this, Matt, right now. Did you already vote on this poll?
I did, and I'm pretty sure I voted in what I could not believe was the minority, because isn't it pretty heavily favored towards no right now?
3,600 votes. 66% of Bulls fans say no, this is not a good deal. 34% say yes. In what world is James Harden for Zach LaVine, Kobe White, and the fourth pick not a good deal?
He's a perennial MVP candidate.
In what world are you a Bulls fan that doesn't want a top 10 player in this league on your team in his prime?
It's preposterous. It's absolutely preposterous to me.
66% on 3,600 votes. That tells me those 3,600 people, the majority of them didn't watch a single game of the Bulls over the last 3 years, or the NBA for that fact.
I mean, do you want the Bulls to be a bigger deal? Do you want the Bulls to get more nationally televised games? Do you want other stars in the league talking about the Bulls? Do you want to win some more games? Because to me, I feel like there might be some Bulls fans lumping this concept into the same bucket as CP3 or Westbrook. And that could not be more different, in my opinion. Westbrook, a guard who relies primarily on athleticism, on the wrong side of 30, and getting even older and slowing down with a ridiculous contract attached. CP3, yes, he's coming off a great year. Old, ridiculous contract. Harden is Harden. He's an MVP winner. He's a perennial MVP candidate. And as much as you and I got love for Zach and Kobe, and like the number four pick in this draft, like, who the fuck cares? Get James Harden. I couldn't believe the number of Bulls fans who voted no on that. It's a moot point because the Rockets would laugh at that offer.
It's absurd. The Rockets would pick up the phone and they would see that they would see the offer from AK and just be like, AK, are you all right? Like, are you being held against your will or something? Like, what's going on here, man? Because you know this deal.
If you're in Milwaukee.
Because the Rockets would be like, in what world do you think that we're making this deal? Like, again, I talk about GMs laughing you off the phone. This is a deal where the Rockets would fart in the phone and hang up immediately on you. And if the Rockets went ahead and made this deal, every single person in that front office should be fired. You should be fired. Because trading away James Harden for that lump sum, talk about absolutely destroying your franchise over the next 5 to 7 years. Do that. Make that deal. That's not even in the ballpark of what James Harden would get. Matt, you're talking about Zach LaVine, Kobe White, probably Wendell Carter Jr., the fourth pick, and then probably two picks after that with maybe some protections as a starter for James Harden. That's where I see the level of James Harden's value. Multiple first round picks, Kobe White and Zach LaVine, your two best assets. And even Carter. Like, I think that is more, that's now in the ballpark of what you're talking about for James Harden. Not this idea that you would trade Zach, Kobe in the fourth and just be able to net Harden. That doesn't, it's not even close. It's not even close.
It is not. I saw that poll and just guffawed. It is a day of funny polls, man. That one, the one that Fred put out there, that was just ridiculous in so many ways. Oh, if the Bulls decide to trade Zach for a rotation player and a late lottery pick, would you be cool with that? Yes, I trust AK. No, don't trade Zach. What the hell are you even trying to ask with that poll? Polls are weird. We need draft night to come so we can get over with it and just start reacting to what actually happened, because the speculation is driving me crazy.
Pound sand.
I didn't see
love
that,
you, Freddy.
I didn't see that poll from Fred, but yes, it's going to be insane. I think I'm going to be sleep deprived over the next several weeks until we lead up to actual games going on, especially if the Bulls continue to kill me with anxiety of not saying what they're doing or not even being rumored. The trade moratorium's been lifted for less than 4 hours and the Bulls have been absolutely silent, so that scares me a little bit too, makes me even more anxious. But it's going to be a fun, wild, wild next couple of weeks, Matt. And I'm all the way here for it. Make sure that you're subscribed to the Locked On Bulls podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On NBA as well. Great stuff coming out every single day. We'll be here with extended episodes throughout the week, and especially draft night on Wednesday. Have plenty of stuff for you guys there. And on Thursday and Friday, we find out a little bit more about who we drafted, what happened, and all the reaction. You can leave your reaction, your last-minute questions leading up to draft night. Try to touch on those tomorrow at 331-979-1369. Drop your tweets, your texts, your messages, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Thanks again for everybody listening. Make sure you are subscribed once again. Follow us on Twitter and on social media accounts. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com